From Directions Media, this is Directions on the News for
Tuesday, January 5th, 2010.
Each week, this podcast looks at news and trends related to all things location. This is Adina Schutzberg in Somerville, Massachusetts.
And this is Joe Francica in Huntsville, Alabama.
This week, as the world pauses to celebrate the season and the new year, we take a break from geospatial technology and ponder what we've learned from our 4 years of podcasting. But first, a word from our sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by Erdas, the Earth to Business company. With leading desktop and enterprise solutions, Erdas helps organizations harness the information of the changing Earth for greater advantage. Experience the power and speed of Erdas Apollo, our enterprise data management and delivery solution, by visiting demo.erdas.com.
Now, I looked it up, and our very first podcast was recorded on July 31st, 2006. At that time, Directions Media was pondering what we were going to do with new media. I'd only joined Directions Media the year before, and we were pretty committed that we wanted to test out all the forms of new media, and podcasting was one of them. So we spent some time to figure out the technology for recording, from the hardware to how you actually record it, to editing the podcast, to posting them, and we had to figure out what we were going to talk about. In that very first podcast, about which some of our peers in the industry did make some fun, and perhaps rightly so, if you remember, we actually reviewed an Autodesk webinar. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do remember that, right.
And it was really very much a test of how we were going to interact, because we were in two different locations, and how the technology was going to work, what the process was going to be. So it really was very much a trial. And from there, we tweaked the format a bit. For a while, we talked about the news of the week, and that slowly evolved into a one or two topic focus where we tried to raise issues and very much to explore our own opinions about what was going on in the industry. And today, what we wanted to do was take a look back over those past 4 years of podcasting and share a little bit about what we've learned and maybe share a little bit about which other podcasts we choose to listen to. So, Joe, what have you learned over the past 4 years?
Well, in that old Boy Scout tradition, be prepared is one of those big ones. I don't think people realize what goes into to podcasting and the preparation we put into it. Sometimes we probably should put in more preparation given some of the topics that we've chosen, but there is a good deal of preparation, and the good thing is there's no lack of news. I think what we've stumbled upon is the fact that there seems to be always something that we can talk about. I think very few weeks go by that we can't find a geospatial topic of interest, but I think the big thing for me is being succinct. Whatever topic we try to bring to the table, we really do hope to offer people some brevity in the topic and raise awareness. And that's one of the big things I've learned from this.
I have to share that, too. That was actually on my list. And one of the things that I've figured out is no matter how much time we spend preparing and trying to get all our facts straight and trying to think of all the different ways the conversation might go, there is invariably some tidbit of information that I didn't look up or that I couldn't find that I really needed to have at hand while we were discussing it. And I find that very frustrating, and I apologize for it.
Yeah, and I too, because sometimes we don't have as much time to prepare as we would like to. Sometimes the topic just arises, could have been a day or two before, and so there's not time to gather all the necessary facts. But hopefully our readers have come away with at least some tidbit of knowledge that they wouldn't have heard at any other place.
Right, or some other perspective. Sometimes
right.
That's what we really have to offer.
Yeah. And I think the other thing that I really picked up is on, because sometimes our podcasts are done with you and me, and sometimes we have done podcasts as interviews with other people. And I've really developed an appreciation of other interviewers preparing the questions, making sure that the question you ask will elicit a response that you hope will be good information. I think, you know, over these last couple of years that we've done this and trying to sit down with an individual for whom you think is going to give you some new knowledge or new information, asking the right questions is very, very difficult. I guess I've never appreciated that before. You know, looking at people on TV or newscasters, it's tough. And that's a challenge I think we still have.
Yeah, that is really tough. And you also never know which people or which little corners of the questioning are going to lead down the interesting paths. So many times you thought that the discussion was going to be about X and it ended up being about Y, and Y was way more interesting.
Right. And so luckily, I think we've also taken care of some of the technological challenges. The spread of new media, our ability to get the word out, I think has helped. And we found that syndicating on iTunes was a good idea. The Wimpy button that we use on our website, it makes it easy for people to just listen. So there's a few hurdles that we had to get over there initially that we finally resolved. So I'm glad that the technical challenges are somewhat behind us, but I'm sure there's always improvements that could be made.
Right, and we'll certainly be looking for input from listeners on that. One of the things that I'm finding, though, is there's sort of a cultural divide. There are sort of podcast people, and there are non-podcast people. And it seems very hard to pull people from one side to the other. And that's fine. I really like this idea that there are so many ways to consume media, and you really get to pick what works for you. And I find this, just depending on how my life is going, I listen to 95% of the podcasts that I listen to while I'm running or working out. So if for some reason I'm not running or working out, like I just did a marathon or I have the flu or something, I get way behind, and it's very frustrating to me.
Right, right. And you know, what I look for in a podcast, and I listen to a few, but the ones I listen to are things like Meet the Press or This Week, catching up on the political news. And so I'll routinely download that onto my iPod and listen to it while I'm driving. If I have a long drive somewhere, that's standard fare. I've got to have it. I know I'm going to be in the car a long time, and that's the best way for me to catch up with things. And I think people have done similar things. We've had listeners tell us that, well, I load up my iPod with your last four broadcasts for directions on the news, and I'm going, wow, that's fantastic. I'm not sure I would want to listen to me for the 15 minutes that we have our broadcast and then do it four consecutive ones. But that's the way people have taken it.
Right, and that's one of the fun things about this. You can use the podcasts really however makes sense. And there are some strange things that happen because people listen to our podcast, and you've probably had similar experiences. Probably about 2 years ago, I was at a conference, and I raised my hand to ask a question. And afterwards, somebody came up to me and said, oh, I knew exactly who you were because I recognized your voice from the podcast.
Right, right.
And that was a little bit scary. And that actually was driven home to me again just a couple of weeks ago. My band had its holiday concert. And during the intermission, I was standing on stage with some of the other members of the band, and we were just chatting. And a fellow came up to me, and he said, are you Adina? And I said, yes. And he said, oh, I saw your name in the program, and I just came by, and I recognized your voice.
That
was just sort of fun. And, you know, you think about how small our community is. That's just a nice thing to have happen.
Yeah, I've had that similar thing to happen as well. And just to go back to your comment about new media, I mean, what we're trying to do is allow people to consume the news in whatever form they feel comfortable in consuming it. Well, podcasting is now several years old, and a lot of people are getting into it. We're about to get into video in a small way, and that's going to be another challenge for us. So it's really just a way of presenting the news in different forms, and they should be able to take it however they feel comfortable in doing it. But I do hope that we've pushed the envelope a little bit further with getting out ahead of some of the new media issues. And that's always a challenge because we never know what's going to stick, right? This seems to have stuck. It seems to be a good way and a good format, and probably something else will come along maybe in a few years that's different.
Right. And one of the similarities, though, with new media, with podcasting, with our traditional print, or in our case, online articles, is that we write them, we put them together, we put them out there, and I am always surprised at which topics generate the most interest, because they're never the ones I would have thought. So I look back, and one of the most downloaded podcasts was called Peeling Back the Layers of the Firefox Geode Location Add-on, which totally surprised me. It's actually something that has not been in the news for quite some time after it was announced. If I recall correctly, it was a fairly technical podcast. I remember spending a lot of time trying to understand how this thing worked. And I guess people have found it and used it as a reference, which really pleases me, but it was not expected.
Right, right. You almost think that the hot topics of the day are going to get more listened to. And yet, obviously, people appreciate a little bit more in-depth articles, a little bit more technical information that, again, they may not have found any other place.
Right. Well, you said you listen to sort of news of the week kinds of podcasts. Any other ones that you listen to regularly?
Well, you know, for fun stuff, I'll listen to Car Talk. You have to have it's one of those things where they're a radio personality. And so what I've learned, again, from listening to them is the banter and what's their interaction. And some of it is scripted. And we don't necessarily, you know, generally script things except maybe the beginning of our podcast. But you do learn different techniques by listening to people who are radio broadcasters. And so I do appreciate the complexity of the production, I guess is the best way to put it.
Right. And they are professionals. As much as people think that we're either professional journalists or professional other kinds of things, neither of us were trained in journalism. We certainly were not trained as in radio or anything else. So I have the same experience.
Yeah, but that is the way we do try to approach it, or at least how I think we've learned, is just listening to the radio, whether it's through a podcast or just listening in your car or live. That is what I have to take away in trying to do better at this job of podcasting, is listening to what the professionals are able to do. I think I have a new appreciation for what they do.
I'm with you, and I have to say one of my favorite podcasts that I pretty much listen to every single day, which is quite a commitment from the just time commitment, is CNET's Buzz Out Loud, which is described as a podcast of indeterminate length, because you never know how long it's going to be, and there's a slightly different cast of characters each day talking about the technology news of the day. And I have to say, I have great respect for these folks, because not only do they cover the news and get down to those key issues of what the technology changes mean or what the business changes within technology mean, but they are so entertaining, and the interaction between the different hosts is just so much fun. And how they can combine those two things is beyond me. Because I don't think – there are times when we are entertaining, but not at that level. No way.
Right.
The other podcast that I listen to, which I guess I put in the category of much more serious, although I find it entertaining, is called For Immediate Release. And it's actually by two communications professionals, one in California, Shell Holtz, and one in the UK, Neville Hobson. And they have a terrific interaction, and you get this sort of both sides of the Atlantic kind of thing. The focus is surprisingly technical. I learn an awful lot about the technology of communication, much of which, frankly, I find really helps me understand how what we're doing in location is about communication and how we can better do it. So even though that's not about GIS in particular, an awful lot of what they discuss I think is applicable. And that one, that podcast is not every day. It's twice a week, but it's twice a week for a full hour. And again, that's a big time commitment. But for me, I cannot miss a single one, or I will be at a loss.
And I think the issue for our listeners is that what you've gotten from those podcasts is a unique perspective, a different piece of information that you wouldn't have gotten at any other place. And when geospatial now seems to be more enveloped into the mainstream IT, I think it behooves us to listen to these types of more technical podcasts outside of the geospatial industry, so we can bring that to our listeners.
Right, and in a sense to listen to the experts in those corners and to help synthesize what they're saying as to how it impacts what we're doing.
Yeah, because geospatial is going more mainstream. We've seen it incrementally happen, and we as technology journalists really do have to be up on what is going on in the mainstream area of technology. So hopefully we'll make ourselves a little smarter by listening to these podcasts.
That's all the time we have today.
This podcast was brought to you by ERDAS. With more than 30 years of experience pioneering geospatial analysis, you will see the fusion and culmination of innovation in the ERDAS 2010 software release. This significant release provides a renaissance in the usability of ERDAS Imagine through the new ribbon interface, parallel processing support, and a fully integrated enterprise geoprocessing offering based on the OGC WPS specification. For more information, please visit www.erdas.com.
We'll just make some announcements here as we go along that the Location Intelligence Conference will be specifically focused on geospatial cloud computing coming in September. Watch for more information at locationintelligence.net.
We want to wish all of our listeners the best for 2010 and beyond. Thanks for joining us today, and be sure to tell a friend.